Yeah! Fourth and final hour of our get-together. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is the 9 o'clock stretch. There we go. Oh, feels good. Not bragging, but I've been in the gym like 2 days in a row, Greg, and it's only 2 days into the week, so.
I think you're bragging.
Yeah, no, I don't want to make, like, you know, I'm pumping iron like, you know, a wild man. Getting huge and yet ripped at the same time. I don't want to be, you know, bragging like that.
Thanks, Arnold.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm a man of great humility.
Oh, the most greatest humility.
Well, thank you, Greg.
And humility, is that's something to be proud of.
Well, you know what? And every once in a while, I try to cover it up, you know?
Like, do you really?
Bob, you're being too humble. No, yeah. Yeah, do I really? Reeled you in, brother! And you should know me by now, man.
Yeah.
We've been like best buds for, is it 9 years
nine
already?
9 years in September, yeah.
Coming up in September. Man.
Man, almost a decade. That's
got to be like the best radio years of your life.
Oh, absolutely. I read that just like you wrote it.
What?
Yeah.
We've got Byron Donalds going to be our next governor. I mean, unless,
like,
you know, the Jolly Rancher does, you know, pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
That or Republicans don't vote.
Well,
there's that.
Although the turnout was
pretty good.
I think overall turnout registered voters, about a quarter, about 24.5% Florida registered voters voted in for a primary. I mean, we always should do better and can do better.
But
for a primary, that's considered pretty good on the high end of average. But yeah, we got to be strong. Strong as can be coming up in the fall. You know the Dems, man. They're desperate. They're going to pull out all the stops. And so you don't sit home no matter what any sort of – we've discovered now that all polls now are – well, most polls. You just – there's no reason to trust a poll until you actually go to the polling place. With all voting precincts reporting in, Marion County residents have reelected at least one school board incumbent. This from Ocala News. Elected two new Marion County commissioners. Mike Crimmie won District 2 seat of the Board of County Commissioners. And District 4, Jeff Bairstow, edged out Randall Alvord. So you've got that. For the Marion County School Board positions, all registered voters countywide were eligible to cast votes because that's not a partisan race. While the top vote getter in partisan races is the winner in nonpartisan races like those on the school board, a majority of the votes is needed to claim victory. So you had incumbents Eric Cummings and Sarah James garnered more votes than their competitor. However, because Cummings faced one challenger in Steve Sweat and James faced two, Cummings won his seat by attaining the majority. James, she did not attain a majority. He'll have to run against Donnie Barber in a runoff. District 4, Mike Mills and Bridget Smith garnered more votes than Jeff Brewer and Buddy Wyckoff. Although Mills won the top number of votes, he also did not attain a majority. He and Smith will face each other in a runoff, with the winner taking over the seat vacated by Nancy Thrower. The election results still might have a final update, but that looks like that's pretty much the deal at this point. But the Byron Donalds thing is huge. But there's other big things, like, you know, I don't think it was a surprise that that Moody won the Republican primary for her Senate seat. But this Nixon woman, apparently she is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And she sounds it, yeah.
And yet with virtually no money at all, she beat a fairly savvy Alex Vindman.
Well, but when you run on giving away everybody else's money to, you know, those that want it, and that's your platform, you know, you don't have to spend as much.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the weakness of our country is, you know, it's been talked about. Everybody can vote themselves a raise via the public coffers. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, what's in it for me? Here's freebie. What they have failed to recognize, and they should by now, is that somebody's got to pay for that. Okay, so they come to realize that. But what they're told and what they believe is that somehow the wealthy people, the rich people, are going to pay for it. Well, when you look at income taxes, yeah, the top 5% pay, I don't know, about 40% or more of the taxes. So, yeah. But there's a whole lot of other folks. They're going to have to pick up the pace as well. And that's what they forget about. And remember, you could vote for something now wanting a handout. Then all of a sudden your fortune's changed and you're making a, you know, halfway decent living. You're starting to live life. You're starting to, you know, want to see the fruits of your labors. But you're also recognizing, wow, why am I paying all this money in taxes? Well, that's because 4 years ago, dummy, you voted for that crap, to put it simply. All right. When is the last time you heard about Neon Dion primetime? Deion Sanders. What was it, like two seasons ago? That was a big deal. All eyes on him and his program in Colorado and all that. University of Colorado, yeah. Well, apparently, the TV ratings, a recent story that came out, TV ratings for the University of Colorado football have been steadily declining during Deion Sanders' tenure, despite his initial promise in 2023. When he took over the reins at that point, the former NFL great, Florida State graduate, instantly became a sensational draw for college football fans. Yeah, it was interesting. We were rooting for him.
But since then, it's kind of been quiet.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, great ratings through that season and even the 24 football season. But then when Sanders went on, I guess in the last year, it has dropped dramatically. And they say the prime effect on Colorado game viewership is wearing off. Program's recent history on ESPN. During the 23 season, the five games televised on ESPN averaged 6.1 million viewers. The next year, 3.4 million over four games. During last season's disaster, it fell to 2 million viewers over seven games. That amounts to about a 67% drop over a three-season span. Fox Broadcast Channel ratings for Colorado games have averaged 4.7 million viewers over three seasons. Yeah, it's, look, when it's like anything else. It's a shiny new thing. Deion Sanders, we know he's going to talk. We know he's going to talk it up. And he's an interesting character, there's no doubt about it. So there's interest in the program. But as time goes on, you know, people are looking for the next shiny object. Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you can see that in politics, but you certainly see it in sports. You know, people have their main teams that they root for, but then they also go like, ooh, you know, here's kind of my, you know, secondary. Here's a program I'm interested in. But apparently, primetime might be relegated to not so prime time. And, you know, they're always measuring these things because of advertising revenue, you know, depends on that and the ratings and viewership. If it continually goes down, less and less chance that, you know, those games are going to be covered. So once he gets news of that, I'm sure he'll say some really outrageous things to get his name out there as we approach the season. Days away, my friends. Hang in there. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, probably still celebrating last night's win. Why not? We'll talk to him next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 9:20 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes on a happy hump day, Trump Day. Some of your top stories. Well, the results are in. Byron Donalds, it didn't take long. He won convincingly. Also, Ashley Moody wins. Now, these are on the Republican side. And also winning on the Republican ticket, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, and he joins us on the Bob Rose Show. Good morning. How you doing, Commish?
Good morning, Bob. Doing great.
Man, I thought you were partying late night, celebrating your big win. You did have quite a showing, but you garnered about 70% of the Republican vote, right?
Yes, sir. No, it was a very, very humbling win, and you know, it's a real. You never know what to expect when you have a statewide race. Same thing last time, but to win every county well above 60% is really, really amazing. And you know, we spent all day yesterday actually in Jackson County, putting on a Farmers Feeding Florida program, talking about that with the peanut growers there and everything. And we got back in late. And we really got back in town about the time the election was over, and then to watch those results come in was just really humbling and amazing. And what I told the team, and I mean the team, the department, hard work, and people recognize that hard work still pays off, and trying to do the right thing and manage all the state resources and the things that we have to do, and it's just really humbling to see that type of result.
I think that, you know, since I've gotten to talk to you, really, as the Florida Ag Commissioner, you start to realize how big of a job it is, how important it is. And before that, honestly, it's not top of mind for the average person, I don't think. So it makes the job tougher to prove, hey, you've been doing it. But since I've been talking to you, I'm like, I talked to somebody yesterday, and they said, yeah, they already voted, and they voted for Matt the Welder. And I knew there was some popular groundswell for him to some extent. And I said, you know, I said, why? He goes, I don't know. He got some good ideas, this and that. And I said, well, I talk to the Ag Commissioner all the time, and I got to tell you, I can't find an area that he's not doing something. And I told him about the family and rural farmlands and all that. And they were like, wow, I didn't know any of that. And so
well, that and the thing is, but just think about the last couple of weeks, even while people were campaigning, and I did some campaigning and did some of that campaigning with Byron Donalds, and we're happy for his win, and we're looking forward to him being our next governor. But in the last few weeks, you know, we've closed on several rural and family lands projects. I think we announced 2,600 acres just last week. Maybe I lose track of the days, but in the last week or so, we did more closings. We're well over, you know, by the end of my first year, Bob, we'll have closed in the first 4 years, excuse me, my first term, we will have closed on 250,000 acres of land in the state of Florida where we bought development rights that will never be developed. And if that was the only accomplishment that we had, that is a legacy accomplishment of 250,000 acres. And that's never been done anything like that. In the previous 20 years, there were about 55,000 acres that was preserved. So 250,000 lot, establishing the wildlife corridor as Senate president, trying to help preserve 18 million acres of the state of Florida so that our grandchildren's grandchildren can have the same quality of life that we do, right? We want Florida to thrive, not just now, but we want it to thrive 10, 20, 30, 50 years into the future, 100 years into the future. And but going yesterday to Jackson County, and I spent all day there with the peanut farmers, and there's about 35,000 acres of peanuts grown there. We also had a program that we just put in place last year called Farmers Feeding Florida. It's where we take food that would normally perhaps get thrown away, food that would get dumped out, and we package and distribute that food through our food bank system, through the Feeding Florida program. And we made that program called Farmers Feeding Florida. And last year, we distributed 58 million pounds of food on that program throughout the state of Florida, all 67 counties. And I learned yesterday it was 1.3 million jars of peanut butter went to those families. So when you think about the whole milk, when you think about beef that's being distributed throughout the state now, that just did not happen only 12 months ago. The legislature this year funded it at $35 million because they saw the success of the program. And the previous year was $28 million. And so when you think about the Department of Agriculture and you think about how do you preserve land for farmers, rural and family lands, how do you preserve the economy and making sure that we're providing for our most vulnerable citizens, Farmers Feeding Florida program, you know, the 0% interest loan program we did after the hurricanes. It was first time in the history of the state. And we could really go division by division within the department and talk about the efficiencies and things. These are things that I'm very, very proud of. I'm going to be in Cross City this morning. We're going to be leaving in a few minutes to go to Cross City to talk to a lot of our forestry folks there and private industry. We know we've lost a lot of jobs in that industry in the last few years just from these plants closing. We're going to go have a roundtable and a discussion out. What can we do as a state to promote Florida? What can we do to promote our industry? How can we help, you know, bring some of that industry back in a, you know, in a better way, maybe better than it was before? Those are the things that the Department of Agriculture and as Commissioner of Agriculture that are I've enjoyed, and I've got an amazing team in Tallahassee. You know, Kathy Mears is my chief of staff or the Assistant Commissioner of Agriculture. She does an amazing job making all of these things happen, and it gives me the as I travel the state. I'm again I'm gonna be across city here in a couple hours, and I'm gonna be in Orlando tonight. And but to meet with the people we get to meet with, and knowing how all of these pieces of the puzzle fit together, we're feeding our most vulnerable. We're buying fresh from Florida products to do that with. At a point in time, by the way, where that food may just completely go to waste. The Fresh from Florida program's been very successful the last 4 years. We went from 500,000 people engaged to well over 1.5 million people. And so farmers are seeing the value. Our consumers are seeing the value. And in addition, you know, we quit talking about it because there's not a lot in the news anymore. But, you know, we've taken over 2 million dangerous packages of hemp products that were targeting our children off the shelves the last 2 years. Our consumer services division is doing amazing work. And I look forward, by the way, we obviously will be asking people for their vote in November. And I look forward to really finishing up some pretty large projects that we have going on right now within the department. And it's been a real blessing to me and my family to be able to do these things.
The guy that's going to be competing with you, attorney and sports agent Joey Mendoza Atkins, I don't know. Does he have a big ag background? Have you studied your opponent yet, or what's going on there?
No, we didn't, and we know we were focused on the primary because that was the task at hand. And now that we're going towards the general, we will. There was really no activity. There was two Democrats running against each other in the primary. Neither one did anything at all that I'm aware of. I mean, like I say, zero. And so now we'll start focusing on November now. You know, after yesterday, we ran through the line and ran through the wire, and we're going to run through the wire again now. And again, you know how we're going to do that mostly, Bob, just by doing our job. We're going to get out around the state, work with our farmers, make sure they have the resources they need, and our consumers. I believe that the state of Florida and the citizens will do the right thing.
Well, we appreciate having you on the air. Honestly, it's been very educational. We look forward to continuing our relationship, and we wish you the best of success. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, congratulations on your big win last night.
Thank you, sir.
You take care. 928 on the Bob Rose Show. Woo! We still got some territory to cover. We got some headlines, big stories coming up, including our deal with trade and Canada and what's going on with the Strait of Hormuz next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 9:37 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. Top story, you've got Byron Donalds winning the gubernatorial candidacy for the Republican Party and winning it convincingly. So he's got his work cut out for him as he goes against Democrat David Jolly in the fall. Also, Ashley Moody, she won, and now she is to face Nixon character on the Democrat side, who is Democrat socialist in Florida. I would think that should be fairly easy to beat. But once again, politically these days, anything is possible. And President Trump pauses new tariffs on Canada for 3 days. He said a deal is on the way. So he thinks it's close. He said, I've paused the 50% tariffs against Canada. They were scheduled to kick in tomorrow morning for a third day period based on the fact that Canada and the USA, subject to the finalization of the documents, have a deal. The announcement came less than 2 hours before a 50% levy on nearly $20 billion of Canadian imports was set to go into place. The two sides have been in an impasse on several issues, including U.S. tariffs on autos and many Canadian provinces banning American liquor sales. So hopefully they will work that out. As I mentioned earlier, Byron Donalds being the big winner. And, of course, he took the stage last night, celebratory, yet talking business and, like his three pillars, what he wants to do in Florida.
My administration will be guided by three pillars: making Florida accountable, achievable, and most of all, affordable. An affordable Florida starts with a limited government that respects hardworking taxpayers who fund it. Under my watch, every contract, every budget, and every fee this state spends will be posted online, out in the open, where you can see it.
Speaking of affordability, a lot of us feel like if our property taxes went down a lot, that might make life a little bit more livable.
The goal of eliminating homestead property taxes once and for all. And if the math can't take us there, we will target that relief to our seniors on fixed income and our working families who want Florida to remain their home.
We also want somebody who is going to really take it seriously when we talk about getting rid of waste and fraud.
We are going to continue the Department of Government Efficiency that was started here in Florida under Governor DeSantis. As your governor, we are going to doge all local governments and all state agencies. There will be no sacred cows.
Moo.
So taxpayers deserve to know that their hard-earned dollars are being spent efficiently, transparently, and with total integrity.
Does the Florida Ag Commissioner know there's not going to be any sacred cows?
Uh-oh.
You might want to have some lines of communication. We just talked to the Florida Ag Secretary, Wilton Simpson. I think that he's been doing a bang-up job.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know a lot about the job, frankly, until we started having him on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on under the ag umbrella, and he's in charge of all of it. And I think he's done a swell job, personally. If you missed that for some reason, that interview, of course, you can pick that and everything up on the podcast, full episodes, just highlights, whatever you want. You just look up the Bob Rose Show. You search for that. Hit follow. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeart, wherever you normally listen to a podcast, we are there. So take advantage of that. Some of the things that we look to in the fall is a separation between Republicans and Democrats. I think, you know, as Republicans, as conservatives, a lot of us, you know, we know where we're going. Maybe if the candidate isn't absolutely our favorite, the difference between the Republicans running in every one of these races, really, and the Democrats, there is a stark difference.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, the last few years, we've seen a separation, but it is really separate. When the Democrats decided to, you know, really embrace the Democrat socialists, you know, we should have seen this coming to some extent. Remember Bernie Sanders, how well he was doing? And basically, Hillary pulled the rug out from under him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he was doing surprisingly, in my opinion, well. Mm-hmm. He was resonating with far more people than I thought he would, and that should have kind of been a warning sign for the future. But then once Trump got elected, honestly, I kind of wrote that off because, well, we had COVID, that kind of interrupted things. But once Trump got back in, we're getting back on track economically and all that. It's like the last thing would be on people's minds when the economy is improving would be socialism.
Yeah.
But the brainwashing has taken place. I mentioned this before. You know, when a lot of a country is like in desperate straits, I take Germany, for instance, after World War I, the Treaty of Versailles really tied their hands. It was very difficult for the German economy. And so the people were downtrodden. So all they wanted to do is glom onto the next person that tells them that things are going to be much better. And that person, unfortunately, happened to be Adolf Hitler. And so, you know, you look back in history, you go, how could these people be suckered in by this guy? How come they didn't know what he was all about? Because they were desperate. But that's what I don't understand, because the people that are voting for socialism now are not the desperate class. Yeah, they might have some student loans they're ticked off about because they didn't get a worthwhile degree. That's on them. But I wouldn't say that they're in desperate straits by any stretch, because they're not. So what is it? How are they buying into the idea of socialism? Do you really want the government to get bigger than it already is? Gosh, I hearken back to, you know, the first time I got to vote for Ronald Reagan. Like, this guy told me he was going to shrink government. Even at that age, I knew government was out of control. And you know, it got old after a while. The Republicans promising smaller government, and they all they did was grow at a slightly slower pace than Democrats, if we're being honest.
That's true. Yeah.
But this socialism, no, this is a big jump. This is like several Obamacares, one piled on top of another. They think that, you know, oh, Medicare, look, that's a good program. Medicare for all. It's a catchphrase. It's not going to be anything like what you think Medicare is now, which, by the way, is not a bad program. But it's impossible to take what is really meant for people ages 65 and up and expand that to everyone.
And that's how Nixon got attention here.
And think that only the wealthy people are going to end up paying for it. You've got to be kidding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and these people, some of these people voting for socialism, they do. They have degrees and some advanced degrees. How can you be so smart in some areas and so completely ignorant in others? It really boggles my mind. You know, it was the Democrats that opened the borders under Joe Biden. And I don't know if I heard, have you heard any apologies for that? Instead of getting apologies for that, Democrats should be coming forward. They should be saying, man, we really screwed up. We shouldn't have been supportive. We should have been more straightforward about the border issue, especially when it became an issue, when we were being flooded with illegals. We screwed up, man. We're sorry. Because their positions 20 years ago were pro-strong border.
Absolutely.
And anti-illegal immigration. But instead of coming out and apologizing, they double down. Get rid of ICE. Like, ICE is the problem to them. You're kidding, right? You created a problem. Mm-hmm. And then when the problem is being addressed, you say the addressing of the problem is the problem. You wouldn't need ICE to go through all the streets of America if Biden and Democrats hadn't opened up the floodgates. But you see how they reverse everything?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, ICE is bad. What about the criminal activity of some of the illegal aliens? The murderous criminal activity, the rapings, the stuff like that. Does that bother you? Oh, wow, you're racist.
Wow.
I mean, really, because how else can they address it? Like, don't you want to get rid of people that are committing crimes that are not supposed to be here? But no, the problem is ICE. So I'm telling you, there is a stark contrast. You can pick apart Donald Trump if you want. You can pick apart the Republican Party. You can even pick apart some aspects of conservatism if you want to try to. But at the end of the day, the Democrats are so far removed from what the average American thinks, what the average American wants, what the average American needs. The Democrats want to crush the family. They want to destroy aspects of our government. They want to destroy law and order. They want to destroy the Senate, possibly even the executive office of the president. They want to pack the Supreme Court with as many justices as it takes for them to get a plurality. It is nothing but wanting power. And the thing is, they're getting some people that are actually buying into it. Used to be the lying lefty Democrats, they would lie about their positions on things to get the vote.
Right.
And then they would go, well, I know my constituents are too stupid to know better, but here I am and I know better, so I'm going to implement A, B, and C.
Are they showing their desperation by the fact that, okay, they got the illegals in and they were hoping for voters there, and then maybe that wasn't enough. We're getting rid of some of the illegals, and then now they're going to the socialists. It's like they're doing anything they can do to get as many people under that tent just so they can win an election.
Yep. That's pretty much what they're up to.
Yep. Oh, well.
Did we mention that Abdul El-Sayed compares himself to Jesus?
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the old, you probably heard this one before.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
Well, Jesus, he was a radical in his time, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Nice try, Sayed. Nice try.
He abides by Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I want him to try to think he knows anything about Jesus.
Probably not.
9:48 on the Bob Rose Show. Hey, it's your turn. We need things that make you smile. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile is brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. Call now, 877-975-9825. Happy, pleasant thoughts now. All right, heathens, you got nothing to be thankful for? Really?
Wow.
Nothing to be thankful for.
Woo.
Oh, man. If you don't show a little attitude of gratitude, don't expect a lot more coming your way.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
I learned the hard way.
That's right.
It's 9:53 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time for things that make you smile. Call now with your upbeat, positive, count your blessings kind of a moment. Are you ready? 877-975-9825. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. It makes me smile.
Yes.
That President Donald J. Trump is going to take a lap before the IndyCar Freedom 250.
Oh, that's cool.
In D.C.
That's cool.
Yep. This course goes by the Smithsonian and by the U.S. Capitol and National Archives. That's going to be a neat course, I think, for a road race.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump's going to do it. I think he's going to do it in the Beast. I don't think he's going to get in a Formula One type car, open wheel.
Yeah, probably.
It'll probably be dangerous.
A little bit, yeah.
But you know there's going to be some cool military flyovers, which I love.
Yes.
And
I love those.
So, yeah, man, I'm sorry. We're going to be feeling the patriotism. I'm apologizing to lefty whack jobs. Yeah. Before socialism completely takes over America, there's some of us that love this country. And so, yeah, this is going to be a big deal. This is Sunday. Some of the events start at 11:30. The race starts at 1 p.m. And this is another part, an aspect of the big 250-year celebration, America. Just started out as an idea and an experiment in self-government, and we were not perfect for a long time, and we're still not perfect, but man, have we come such a long way. And our quality of life and everything else, we are blessed. And all you have to do is take the opportunity that you're basically born into by being born here and make something out of it.
And how fortunate are we really that we have President Trump as the president in this 250th? Because I can just imagine the celebrations would have been a little different, a little more differently targeted, and just not near as just all Americana, love our country kind of thing that we get with him.
Well said. Trump knocks it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, coming up next, don't go away. We're not quite done yet. We've got the Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy, and that is coming up next. Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. A major polling scandal rocked L.A. mayoral race after a firm admitted to fabricating poll results. This was Meridian Strategies, as they were known, creating a fake poll showing Karen Bass leading. The company claims that the move was, well, it was just a short-term social experiment to study political misinformation. A polling outfit, they admitted surveys it released in L.A. As well as Wisconsin were fake. Well, thankfully, they are now out of business. Yeah, like I like to say, beware of social experiments. And that, my friends, is your Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe, happy Hump Day, Trump Day, my friends. See ya.